You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Fort Chipewyan is about 400 miles northeast of Edmonton in Alberta. It's the home of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation. It's also directly downstream from the huge Alberta tar sands development. Pollution from the tar sands is causing sickness and death among the Athabasca Chipewyan population. Mike Mercredi is a member of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation. He previously worked on the tar sands. He's currently touring the country to raise awareness about the damage that they are causing, and he's joined me in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Now, what are the health impacts that you're seeing at Fort Chipewyan that result from the tar sands development and extraction?
Well, from the elders speak, in the last 20 years, they know the differences. The water's changed since the tar sands have developed. So with them, there's no question as to where it came from. The health issues we're facing were rare cancers in the community. Dr. O'Connor raised the issues about what was happening there.
Dr. O'Connor is a doctor who was in the community?
Yeah, he worked in the community itself and noticing the alarming rates of cancer in that place. And it was the cases that he found can only be found in 1 in 100,000 people.
So really rare things.
Really rare, like 1 in 100,000. And there's only 1,200 people there. So these were people that were like cases that were alarming rates. Since 1990, over 108 people have died.
And this is out of a population of?
1,200.
1,200.
11 to 1,200 people.
Okay.
Not 11 or 12,000, 100. So this year, I believe there were 6 cases alone they've actually already found. Like even my family has no known cancers in it. But I've buried my auntie this year. I've got an auntie living with cancer. And my uncle, he passed away several years back from cancer.
So when you say the elders notice a difference in the water, what kind of difference do they notice?
Taste, smell. One of the first signs was the animals. The animals were telling the elders what was wrong with the water. Like the muskrat. They're longer there in the delta. Because the water flows right from the tar sands area up into Fort Chip. The muskrats that live in the water, which are water animals, are no longer there. Hmm. They just packed up and left. Now, that's one of the first signs as humans who usually watch the animals and learn from the animals and how to hunt and how to gather was from watching animals. So the muskrat was a water animal to get up and leave. The muskrat can be found in other areas, but nowhere near where the river flows. So if that's not telling you one thing about what is wrong with the water, and for the elders to see that, and people to get sick, high rates of cancer being brought up, they're noticing, like the elders noticing 30 years ago, used to bury maybe one person maybe once a year, every couple of years, not every month. So that's telling you a lot of things right there just in itself.
And so 30 years ago, people were living off the land and living presumably a healthy life.
Yeah, they were living healthy lives. I mean, just this year, we buried one of our members, our community members. You mentioned earlier Athabasca Chipewyan. There's actually the Mixtu Cree who are also there and the Métis. They're all feeling the effects. They all have the same stories, the same issues, and they don't agree with what's going on.
But the lifestyle from 30 years ago hasn't changed. The food choices haven't changed, but
not a lot. No, people still consume the foods out there on the lands. They still go out and do their hunting. And the ones that have lived there and consumed these for most of their lives are starting to find these cancers in them. So there's some people who might, if their body is strong enough to not to handle and not getting it right away. But basically everybody's at risk. And their diet has been mostly that in the last 30 years, as you were saying. And from 30 years ago as to now, if you're consuming that much kind of foods and it has these toxins in there, it's just a matter of time before it exposes itself. So within the foods and the water, then I guess, you know, you're looking at pretty much a chance at getting it.
Do you know what kind of toxins we're talking about? Are they the kind that build up over time?
Some of them are. A lot of them, there's PAHs and stuff like that. Stuff that's found in the tailings ponds and in the tar sands area. And in the tailing ponds, these things, they're known to leak. One of the companies admitted to leakage. They had something like three Olympic swimming pools a week was being released into the Athabasca.
From the
tailing ponds. One of these companies that is close to the Athabasca River, which flows right through Fort Chipewyan.
Did you used to take fish from that river?
Yeah, from the river and from the lake. Actually, even as a child, I remember there was a fishing plant they had on the river. You used to stay on there and basically gather fish and sell it. And it was sold. There was commercial fishing in that area, and it's no longer there.
So the fish is gone.
They won't consume the fish because of the deformity they found in them. They found cysts and sores, and some of them with large fins, small fins. In fact, they just found a two-jawed fish this past summer at a water conference they held there.
So you're actually seeing changes in the way that the fish are.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually, if you were to possibly Google Fort Chippewa on the water conference and see the fish they had there, mutated fish, it was in the news in August in Alberta. So I don't know how much the rest of the world saw it, but there's actually pictures of a fish with two jaws. And the fish they caught was a whitefish. And even the whole fish itself looked pretty deformed. And if you've seen a normal whitefish, you wouldn't think it would be the same fish.
Hmm. Now, I know that there was a report that you mentioned of the doctor who was a doctor of the community, and then he was dismissed, was he not?
Yes, he was. He was actually charged by the Canadian Cancer Board for raising undue alarm. And other accusations they were saying about billing and some stuff like that, but they've dropped all those charges except the one for raising undue alarm. And that was his report. That was his releasing that and saying so, right? But there was a different health study done by the Alberta by Health Canada, and then the First Nations agree with it because they believe it was flawed and it wasn't really done as how the community feels it should have been done. Some people who had cancer weren't even interviewed. The data in there wasn't enough. They previously said it was pretty put together pretty quick. And they say they were working on it for a long time, but all of a sudden, just out of the blue, they're waiting for this report and it shows up. And nobody agrees with what they're saying.
What does it say in the report?
It's saying there's nothing wrong. It's saying they're just trying to dispute the thing that there is nothing wrong. But the people know. I mean, if you're burying your own people, you know what's happening. It's genocide. We're just facing these things. When you're there and you got to wonder who's going to be going next or who's sick, and then some of them won't admit that they have the cancers, and you're hearing, like, every other week, every month, you're hearing, it pops up, you hear, yeah, this person's got it. And then when you're burying people who are younger than me, it does something to you. You know, you got to look around and see, these are people I grew up with. This is my family. This is my community. And they're dying.
And I guess the original doctor was seeing this because he was the doctor from the community.
Yeah, yeah, he noticed it, wondering what was going on. Apparently, the evidence has been there for several years. Because my late uncle Tony Mercury, who hosted a conference in 1992 on the water, and a couple of years ago I buried him, and he died from this cancer. So with him going, there's... and bringing up the issues over the health issues in Fort Ship, somebody else has to. And then when I'm burying my own family, and I'll say any opportunity I get to express this, to spread the message that this is happening in Canada. And I mean, whoever's in the earshot of this conversation and can hear this, people in your country are dying. Their own governments and their own industry that are in there are killing them. These are your countrymen. We're all Canadians. And we're allowing our own Canadians to die in our own country. And facing with that, it's slow industrial genocide. And once you're faced with death, you know, you do what you can to survive and you say what you can. So hopefully my role is just to go out and spread the message that, yeah, we are facing this within our own country. So hopefully that you hearing this can help do something about it. Spread the message out. Maybe someone who can make the right choices or someone somewhere who can help on what's going on here hears this. Because this is an important issue. This is our own country. We're facing this issue because the water is going downstream into Fort Chippewa. What I mentioned was that if the water was flowing south into Edmonton, the capital city of the province, and people were dying there from rare cancers, it'd be an epidemic. But there's no epidemic in Ship, according to Health Canada. But the people say otherwise.
What kind of response have you gotten from the media?
So far, so good. So far, they've given me the opportunity to express what I need to express and say what I need to say, which I've got to thank about that, because you got to respect a medium that can allow you to freely express what you got to say. And they've given me the opportunity to do so. So since I started this tour, a lot of the feedback has been very positive. Positive in the fact that I'm out spreading a message that's very negative. And when I speak, I always say this, and I'm going to say it right here, was that for what's happening in Fort Tripp and what we're going through, I shouldn't have to be here to come tell you this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be out coming, speaking, to telling the people what's happening to my community. In a country as diverse as Canada, I shouldn't have to be doing that. That shouldn't be something I should have to do.
And have you gotten a response from the powers that be?
Yeah, actually. When I expressed in Edmonton at the Everyone Downstream 2 conference, I expressed that I used to work for St. Jude, and I've seen what was in there. St. Jude Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they've been getting a lot of heat, and people have been questioning them now, so which is good. That's about time. Like just this year, 500 ducks perished in one of their tailing spawns. 500 that they know of. 500 that someone's seen. Like people saw it and they'd reported it. People that have known that have worked in that site have seen this before. Maybe not as many as 500. But say since production, probably about 5,000 have died. Not only ducks, but other animals have perished in there. They take precautions in setting up things to mitigate these things not happening. Like if they're doing that, which means it's happened. Stuff they're not admitting to. Other animals that have died in there. Now, under the Canadian Environmental Protection Act, there's supposed to be fines for these things. Now, call Sinkford and ask them, have they been fined for 500 ducks for being dying in their ponds? Have they been fined for the past animals that perished in their ponds? If you can find any evidence to bring it to me, I'd like to see that.
Thanks very much for coming down to our studio this morning, Mike.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Mike Mercredi. He's a member of the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, who live downstream from the Alberta tar sands development.